I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. And I was thinking as you're singing it, you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus cried out. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I've thought of it, and I've never read any commentary yet that's got a good answer for it, but I've often wondered, I mean, Jesus knew why he came to the earth, and we believe that in the eons of ages in the past, somewhere along the line, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit came up with this plan of salvation. Jesus was the one who's going to go down and die for us. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be involved in making it real to us and all these different things. But it seems like when Jesus hung on the cross, and again, I don't know, I'm just, you know, from our limited understanding, just trying to figure out what was going on. Didn't Jesus know what was going to happen when he hung on the cross? Did he know that he was going to experience, you know, God withdrawing from him? You know, was this something that was discussed before he came to the cross? But every time we sing something like that there, and I read the scripture, Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You often wonder, did Jesus know that or not know it? That, you know, sin was going to do that to him? When the sin of the world was laid upon him, God had to turn his back upon him. And it's just amazing to me that Jesus, and you know, he knew the end from the beginning. Many times, even when he was getting ready to go up to Jerusalem and be crucified, Peter tried to stop him. And Jesus said, he said, listen, he said, for this reason, he said, I came. And that he was going to go to the cross. So he knew all that. So I wonder sometimes, did he know that he's going to be forsaken like that? And we've all had times when we've felt forsaken in our lives. And sometimes forsaken by, you know, people. But you imagine God the Father forsaking you. And what must have went through Jesus' mind as he hung on the cross there. And as he came to the earth to redeem us and hung on the cross paying the price, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like it was no use to it. God withdrew from him. I don't know. I can't explain it the way that I'm feeling inside. But to think that Jesus would cry out and say, why, saying to the Father, why have you forsaken me? And there's a whole lot more to it than I think sometimes in what we see and what we understand. Anyway, we're going to look at Galatians again. This is our fourth sermon in the series, Galatians part 4, and we're beginning at chapter 2 today. And we're going to talk about Paul's apostleship and his gospel confirmed. Now, the first one, we talk about who Paul was. We talk about how he grew up under Judaism. He became, we would call today, a terrorist, going around hunting down Christians, dragging them to prison, having them killed, and different things. Then he got saved. And on the road to Damascus, he got saved in Acts chapter 9 there. And from that time on, Paul, who once fought against the church, all of a sudden became the strongest preacher in the church and started to preach the gospel. So that was number one. And then in part two, we talk about Paul's gospel. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians or to Galatians here, and Paul was explaining to them that they're getting away from the one true gospel. He said, there is no other gospel. He said, if someone else comes with a different gospel, he said, even if it's an angel from heaven, he said, don't believe it. He said, you have the true gospel. And the gospel is salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is basically what the gospel is. There's nothing you add to it. It's just plain, simple gospel. If you believe, the Word of God tells us, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's not talking about believing that Jesus existed, believing that there's a God, but put your trust in him as your Savior. If you do that, then he said you'll be saved. And then last week, we looked at Paul's apostleship. The Judaizers, these are the people that were going around trying to tear apart everything Paul was preaching. They were saying, well, he's not really a true apostle anyway. He never went around with Jesus. He never spent time with Peter and James and John and all these fellows. And so, you know, you can't really believe what Paul's preaching. What we're preaching as Jewish people, that's the true gospel. And so Paul in Galatians chapter 1, near the last part of the chapter, Paul goes down through there and explains that the gospel that he's got is true. His apostleship is true. He said, I never got this from man. In verse 11, I think it was, he said, I never got this from man. He said, this came from God. And he said, I got it by revelation. And he said, I never got it from, you know, Peter, James, and John, the other apostles. I never got my apostleship from them. He said, this came from God himself. And he said, Peter is an apostle to the Jews. He said, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. And so anyway, that was where we finished off last week. Today we're going to look at Paul, his apostleship and his gospel being confirmed by the very people that they're saying that he's not measuring up to. Peter, James, John, you know, the 12 apostles. And so we're going to look at this, Galatians chapter 4, or Galatians part 4, but Galatians chapter 2, and beginning of verse 1. Before we look at that, let's bow together and ask God's direction upon the word this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for the word of God. Once again, Lord, we approach it reverently and humbly. And Father, we ask that you would make this real to us this morning. And help us to realize, Lord, the importance of knowing the gospel that we believe and where it came from. And Father, have the assurance that it's only by our faith in Jesus can we be saved. Direct our thoughts this morning. May the name of Jesus be glorified. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 2 and beginning of verse 1. Now remember last week, Paul was stressing the point that he never got his gospel from Peter, James, John, you know, some of the other apostles. Remember we had a little chart up there. He said, I never got it from man. He said, it never came from man. It never came from God to someone else to pass on to Paul. He said, I got it directly from God himself. Remember we had the chart up there? And so Paul says, you know, he said, I got saved. This was in Acts chapter 9. He said, and from there, he said, I went into Arabia. And he was in Arabia. Bible scholars believe that he was in there for 3 years because he mentioned 3 years later I came back. He was in Arabia for 3 years. And as we mentioned last week, some people say, well, how come he had to spend 3 years in Arabia? Now, here's something just to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. In Arabia, this is the same place where Moses received the law back in the Old Testament. Mount Sinai is in Arabia. Moses received the law there to take to the Jewish people. Paul goes down there and he receives the gospel to take to the Gentile people. And so this is where we're coming from. And so Paul said, I went into Arabia and he was there for 3 years. Somebody said, how come he was there for 3 full years? And as we said last week, just joking about it, but it's probably true, it took him 2.5 years probably to get Judaism out. A lot of times, you know, when you're drilled, something is drilled into you as a child, and drilled into your mind and your way of thinking and all these different things, maybe some superstition, maybe some religious thing that you've been, you know, has been drilled into you, it's hard to get that out sometime in order to get the truth in. And sometimes we almost need to be turned upside down and shook until everything comes out and then start putting the good stuff back in again. Because a lot of times we've had all kinds of superstitions and, religion is full of superstitions. And even some of the old foolishness that, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know all kinds of superstitions. We had in our growing up, they had a superstition. If anybody worked on their house and raised a roof, now this is a superstition that, you know, you got to shake yourself sometimes to get out of. If they raised a roof on their house, you know, built higher or something like that, guaranteed somebody in the family is going to die within the next year. I don't know where he came up with that. Maybe somebody raised a roof and somebody died. And they said, oh, that's guaranteed. That's what happened, you know. I don't know. How did he come up with these things? Another one, if there's a woodpicker that came and was, you know, on a tree outside your house, guaranteed somebody in your family is going to die in the next year. Now, anybody of you fellows have anything foolishness like that in your background? Or you hear people talking like that? That's superstition. Okay? That's not from God's word. That's just foolishness that the devil's trying to bring us under all kinds of bondage and fears and all these different things. And let's not allow the devil to do that to us. And sometimes even in a religious thing, people, you know, they got all kinds of weird ideas that's brought in and made into almost rules and laws and things that we have to live by, and we grow up through our life, and even though we think we've got that let go, when a time comes for us to do something that's going to jeopardize what we believe right there, we're afraid to make that step because that's still holding on to us. And this is what was going on in Judaism. This is what was going on in Paul's day. People were getting saved, but you're afraid to let go of some of these things that they heard as children and they heard in the past that they thought they had to do. And it's hard for us to do that. So I think Paul was in Arabia, and as I said, if he's there for 3 years, it probably took 2.5 years to get Judaism out so that God could get the gospel back in. And, we go through that. But anyway, Paul says, then 14 years after, because after that 3 years, we talked about last week, after that 3 years, he came back into Damascus, and he started to preach the gospel, and the Jews got upset with him, and then Paul came down to Jerusalem. We talked about last week, or he came down to meet Peter for 15 days. Came down to Jerusalem, and the Bible says that when he came, the people wouldn't, this is 3 years after he was saved. Peter, James, John, all these fellows still would not accept him because they were afraid. You think this is some kind of a trick that Paul got up his sleeve. Now, here he was, against us, and all of a sudden now he's on our side. There's something fishy going on here. So they're afraid to trust him. And there's a fellow there named Barnabas that came and went and got Paul and brought him to the apostles and said, listen, this is genuine. This fellow is really saved, and he's got a message for the Lord. So anyway, so Paul says, then 14 years later, he said, I went up again to Jerusalem. And you need to understand why Paul, and again, this is the Holy Spirit giving us this through the Apostle Paul, but you got to understand why he's giving us this time detail. He's giving us a time detail to show us that he never got this message from the apostles. Since Paul has been saved, and this is 14, 17 years later now, he's met with Peter and James, for 15 days. And that was 3 years after he was saved, after he already had the gospel that he was preaching. Okay, so he's making the point, I never got this from Peter, James, John, some of the other apostles. This came from God. And this is why he gives us this breakdown of the time periods in between, so that we'll know, that this was something that was totally from God and not from man or some organization. He said, and I went up into Jerusalem, and then he said, I took with me Barnabas. Now Barnabas, and I'm just going to give you quickly a couple things here about Barnabas. As I said already, Barnabas was the fellow that went and got Paul, and brought him down to Peter and James and John and the other apostles and say, listen, this fellow is genuine. Now Barnabas, let me just back up a little bit before that. First, when people start getting saved, on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 people got saved. And the Bible says the Christians in Jerusalem, what they did, they thought Jesus was going to come next week and set up his kingdom. They were all excited about it. So we're going to stay in Jerusalem. We're going to stay here until Jesus comes back. Well, you know as well as I do, this is 2,000 years ago. He's not back. But they thought at that time he was going to come back. So they stayed there. And the Bible says that they brought all their belongings together, and everyone lived out of the one kitty, so to speak. They sold land, they sold their houses, sold properties, put it all together. The Bible says that they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, they brought it to their church. And people were living all in one community, so to speak. And the Bible tells us that Barnabas was a believer. He was Jewish, but he became a Christian. And he was from the island of Cyprus, just out in the Mediterranean, just off from Israel. He was from the island there, and he had a piece of land on the island that he owned, and he sold that piece of land and brought the money and gave it to the apostles so that it would help out to keep everybody, financed until Jesus came back. They thought that Jesus was going to come back, like I said, in 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever. But as time went on, you'll find out later on that, they had to do other things because of that. But anyway, but Barnabas was a fellow that he was just all out for God. And as I said, he sold a piece of land, brought the money, gave it to the church so that it could help out the people that were struggling and things like this. And he was totally dedicated to God. Now, his name was not really Barnabas. That's a nickname. His name was Joses, J-O-S-E-S, Joses. And his name, he was Joses from Cyprus, but the disciples, the Bible says, gave him this name, Barnabas. And this name here is a nickname that means an encourager. Son of encouragement is the actual translation of it. When you see bar, in the like bar Jonah, bar, it means son of. Like Peter, bar Jonas, Peter, the son of Jonas. Things like this. So here we see Barnabas, he was a son of encouragement. This is the nickname they put on him. So he was a fellow, the Bible tells us also, he was a man that was full of grace. He's full of grace. He was just a person that was so easygoing, not critical, not hard on people, not legalistic, but he was so open and receptive to people, and people just loved him, and he loved people, that he could do things for God that other people were probably too narrow-minded to do. So he was the one that went up to Damascus, got Paul, and brought him back to Jerusalem, and says to the disciples, listen, this fellow's genuine. Okay, now, sometime later after that, Paul was preaching in Antioch. Or let me back up a bit first. Antioch was a Gentile church. Now, the Jewish church had all the Jewish customs, and as long as you were Jewish and got saved in that church, there's no problem. But all of a sudden, God starts saving people up north in Antioch in Syria. And Barnabas, the disciples back in Jerusalem, they couldn't understand this. How come the Gentiles are getting saved? This is supposed to be a Jewish thing. You know? And so they sent Barnabas up to check it out. And Barnabas went up, and he, as I said, Barnabas was an open-minded person. He was very gracious. And he went up, and he could understand stuff that God was moving into Gentiles, probably more so than Peter or someone else could understand. So Barnabas went up there, and he stayed in the Antioch church for a while, helping out. And the church was growing, and people were getting saved, and things were happening. And Barnabas thought, man, he said, I can't look after all these people by myself. So he goes to Tarsus, where Saul was from. Remember? Now, this was years later, and he went there, and he got Saul, he got him to come down to Antioch to help him in the church at Antioch. And so we see Barnabas here, and now we see Paul talks about they were going back into Jerusalem, and he said he took Barnabas with him because they had to go down. There was a problem that came up, and he took Barnabas with him. Now, the problem that came up, And we've shared this two or three times since we've been in Galatians, but just recap it again. It's called the Judaizers. Okay? Now, there's Judaism. This was the Jewish religion under the Old Covenant and everything else is Judaism. Okay? Now, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and went back to heaven, Christianity started up on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So you got Judaism over there, you got Christianity over there. So you had some of these Jews that wanted to become Christians. So they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that he died and that he rose again from the dead. They believed that he was the Son of God. So all of a sudden, they left Judaism and came over to Christianity, but they were still holding on to the traditions of Judaism. So they are about halfway there. I don't know if that's a good way to say it. But you understand? They left Judaism, coming over to Christianity, but they're in the middle, so to speak, and they're called Judaizers. Okay, they are legalists. You ever see people that are legalists? You know, stick to the rules, stick to this, stick to that, and there's no joy in their life. The longer their face, they feel the more spiritual they are. You know, people like that. And this is what the Judaizers were like. And they came, everywhere Paul went preaching, they came in after Paul, and after Paul went on his first missionary journey up to Lystra and Iconium and Derbe and all them places there in Galatia, Paul went up there and people were getting saved and things like that were happening. And these Judaizers, I mean, they never totally left Judaism. They never totally got into Christianity, so they're halfway there. They went around after Paul went and preached, and they said, listen, Paul's not truly an apostle. He never went around with Jesus. We belong to the church in Jerusalem, and we know. I mean, these fellows went around with Jesus. Peter, James, John, all these fellows. These are believers, you know, the apostles. So these fellows are the true ones. Paul is not really a full-fledged apostle. And the gospel that he's preaching is not full-fledged because we know from Judaism, we know that you can't be saved unless you keep the laws of Moses. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to keep all the dietary laws. You got to, you know, be circumcised. The male children's got to be circumcised. All these different rules. So Paul never really preached the full gospel to you. You've got to be circumcised. You got to be keep the dietary laws and all these different things. So they said this is where the problem is at. And the Bible says that it became such an issue that Paul and Barnabas and others decided to go back to Jerusalem and talk this over with the disciples, with the apostles that went around with Jesus. Now, so this is what Paul's talking about. He said, I took Barnabas with me, and then he said, I took Titus. Now, here, Titus was a Greek. He was a Gentile. Okay, he didn't belong to this Judaism. He had nothing. He didn't even know anything about that. He was a Gentile out there in the pagan world. He was a Greek. And Paul said, I took him with me also. Now notice what happened there. And he said, I went up by revelation. And I'm not going to get into that. It would take too long right now. But anyway, Paul said, I got a revelation from God to go up there. And he said, I communicated unto them. Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem, to Peter, James, John, and the others that were there in the church in Jerusalem. And he said, I communicated unto them. In other words, I went line by line, precept on precept. I went through everything that I was preaching, everything that I believed, how I saw the gospel, what I understood from the gospel of faith and grace of God. He said, I communicated this to them. And he said, communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Now remember, this was a Jewish church. Okay, Paul says, I went up, he said, and preached, communicated to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. Then he says, but privately, I did it privately. I never came out and got up in front of the full Jerusalem church and brought this up, because if all of a sudden, you got to understand what's going on here, if all of a sudden Paul got up there and started saying, listen, you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to do this, you don't have to, you know, keep the dietary laws, you can eat hamburger meat, you can eat pork, you can eat, you know, bacon or whatever they had in those days, you can eat these things, all of a sudden you're going to get an uproar in the congregation, because there's people that still had this old traditions of was back there in Judaism. So Paul said, I met privately with the leaders. Now notice what he says there, to them which were off reputation. To them who were off reputation. Now notice what he says here, those that were off reputation, in other words, those that had a standing, these were the leaders in the church. Now he said, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, Paul wasn't afraid that he was preaching a wrong gospel. Paul knew that he was preaching the right gospel. He knew that Jesus gave it to him. But he said, I had to meet with the leaders. He said, lest what I was preaching, he said, I was just wasting my time. Because what was happening, if the leaders never stopped these Judaizers from coming after me, he said, I could spend the rest of my life out there preaching the gospel and not accomplish anything, because they're coming in and destroying everything that I'm doing. So he said, I went up to Jerusalem to talk to these leaders. He said, but neither Titus, okay, now Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, in other words, he wasn't circumcised, okay? He said, but when I went up there and met with Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, and the leadership of the church in Jerusalem, the Jewish church that the Judaizers had come from, he said, when I went up there and preached or shared with them, he said, the gospel that I was preaching, he said, I took Barnabas with me, and I took Barnabas, was well known in Jerusalem. He came from that church in the beginning. Now he's just going back with Paul. He said, I took Barnabas with, and he said, Titus. And Titus, he said, was a Greek. He said, but he wasn't compelled to be circumcised. Okay, now that's the King James. I put it in a different language here. This is the English Standard Version. He said, but even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Now, the reason Paul is saying this, because the Judaizers and the people in Galatia, where he's writing to, they were confused. Should we circumcise people or should we not circumcise people? Should we keep the dietary laws? Should we not keep the diet? Did we have to worship on the Sabbath day or did we worship on the Sunday? Did we do this? You know, all these different things. And Paul was writing this to explain to them that, listen, even when I went up to the very hotbed of Judaism, right into Jerusalem itself, the Jewish church, when I went in there, he said, I took a Greek in with me, and he said, if he had to be circumcised, I'm sure he would have said something. He said, but Peter, James, and John, he said, none of them compelled Titus to be circumcised. Okay. And he said, that because a false brethren unawares brought in. Now, these false brethren, these were the Judaizers. Okay, they were coming around telling lies on Paul, saying that he wasn't the true apostle, he was not preaching the true gospel. So these fellows were here, you know, half in the Jewish camp, half in the church camp, but they were just, you know, confused. There's a lot of Christians today, you know, that are still, for whatever reason, whatever tradition or something they had as children, they're still afraid to let go of that and just totally trust in Jesus. Just totally trust in him for their salvation. I got to be baptized a certain way. I got to, you know. Listen, I'm going to say something here. You don't even have to be baptized. Okay? You don't even have to be baptized in order to get to heaven. Paul himself said, he said, Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not to baptize. But yet for all we grew up, I'm exactly, you know, this is things that I've had to get over myself. We grew up and says, oh no, you got to be baptized. You can't be saved. You can't get to heaven unless you're baptized. I've had people come to me and says, listen, I want to get baptized. I've had people, and I've told you this story before, I've had people say, they phone me and say, listen, I want to get my children baptized. Well, why? Well, I want them to be ready for heaven. Listen, water can't wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that washes away sin. Anyway, He said, the false brethren came in. And notice how they came in. He said, unawares brought in. In other words, this was unawares to the leaders in Jerusalem. That these fellows, when they knew that Paul... See, the big argument started up in Antioch, up in the Gentile church. The Judaizers came in and said, listen, you fellows are not true Christians because you haven't been circumcised. And you don't keep the Jewish laws. You don't worship on Saturday. You don't have the dietary rules and everything else that the Jews live by. So you're not real Christians. And it caused confusion in the church in Antioch. And there, the Bible says there was a much disputing going on there, dissension going on in the church. So Paul decided, listen, we got to go down to Jerusalem and talk this over and get this straightened out and stop these fellows from chasing us around and tearing apart everything we're doing. But when he got down to Jerusalem, some of these Judaizers came in unawares. People brought them in unawares. Unawares to Paul and them, I believe unawares to Peter, James, and John and the leadership as well. But these came in to try to stir up some fuss in the church. That's a different story in itself. Who came in privily or came in privately or sneaked in. Okay? Some translations came in stealth. In stealth. You know, just in a sneaky way. They came in to the meeting. And what did he come in for? To spy out our liberty. Now, here's the thing about it. People say, "Well, you know, if you preach it, you don't have to do this. You don't have to keep all these rules." That's too much freedom. That's too much. How are you going to keep everybody controlled? Well, this is the same problem that these people had. They couldn't understand how you could be saved without all these rules. So they came in to spy out. Notice what Paul says. They came in to spy out our liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ. Now, why did he do that? That they might bring us into bondage. They wanted to bring them back under, keep them all the rules. Listen, it would take too long to go through it. But listen, every one of us here, we grew up in churches that had all kinds of rules and regulations. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't look at TV, you can't read a comic book. I remember when I was a youngster, we went out and did some work, and I got 25 cents. We were taking some wood out of a fellow's woodshed for him, and we were working the whole day. He gave me 25 cents. And back in those days, 25 cents is a lot more than 25 cents is right now. And I can remember going up to a store, I bought a bottle of Coke, which is 10 cents, and I bought a comic, which is 12 cents. And I took that comic home. It was only Superman or Batman or something. And I hid that under the mattress, afraid Mom would see it. Because I knew if Mom saw that I had a comic book in the house, I'd be in trouble. Now, you fellows, some of you are laughing because you went through the same kind of foolishness. Right? And we had all these rules. You can't be a Christian if you read a comic book. You can't be a Christian if you read, if you look at TV. You can't be a Christian if you do any, you know, all these different rules. And Paul said, no, there's freedom in Christ. These fellows came in to spy out this freedom because they wanted to bring us back under bondage, Paul said. They wanted to bring us back into, listen, you know what the word religion means? Re is to return, redo, means to do something over the second time. Legere, which religion comes from, it means bondage. Go back into bondage. That's what religion is. Religion is a curse. Religion is a bad thing. You understand that? Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. Okay? Religion itself brings you into all kinds of bondages, all kinds of superstitions. Okay, let's move on. Acts chapter 15. Okay, maybe the next verse, I got it there. To whom we, he said, these people came in. He said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. He said, we wouldn't let them get a foothold at all. He said, when these Judaizers stood up and tried to cause a problem, he said, we would say today, I wouldn't give in to them, not for a minute. Paul said, I wouldn't give in to them, not for an hour. He said, now, why was that? He said, that the truth of the gospel might continue. Now, he's writing to Gentiles, remember. So he said, Paul said, I would not back down. He said, because I knew the truth of the gospel that you fellows had, that you could have freedom in Christ without all these rules and regulations. You just accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins. He said, I knew, he said, that was the true gospel. And he said, these fellows are coming in trying to tear that apart. And he said, I would not back down for a minute. And he said, the reason I stood so strong, he said, that the truth of the gospel would continue with you Gentiles, because he's writing to Gentiles in Galatia. You understand that? So he said, I would not back down. And we would say Paul stuck to his guns. And he wouldn't back down because he knew that if you brought in all these traditions, Christianity would have been destroyed. The freedom that was in Christ would have been wiped out if you brought in all these rules and regulations again. And, well, we'll touch on that in a minute. He said, but of these who seem to be somewhat. Now, notice what he says there. Whatsoever they were makes no difference to me. He said, God accepts no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat. Now notice he mentions that twice there. He's doing that for emphasis, to help us understand something. He said, those who seemed to be something in Jerusalem church, the leaders in Jerusalem church. He said, these people, some translations, those who were off reputation, those that were, held in esteem. And Paul said, it made no difference to me who they were. He said, the truth, I'm just paraphrasing now, but Paul was saying, it makes no difference who they were. He said, the truth is the truth, and the truth of the gospel had to go forth. He said, I don't care who Peter was, or who James was, or who John was. He said, the truth had to be spoken. And this is what he's saying. Sometimes you got to stand for the truth, even though it's not popular. And Paul did this. And Paul said, I stood up for it. And notice what he says here, and I'll show you who these fellows are in verse 9. Paul says, and when James and Cephas, which is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, these were the leaders in the Jerusalem church. He said, when I went to them. Okay, so those that seemed to be something, he's talking about Peter, James, John, the leaders that were in the Jerusalem church. He said, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He said, after we had this meeting, he said, we discussed all the problems that were going on between the Judaizers and the Christians and all these different things. He said, in conference and gathering, he said, they never added anything to the gospel that I'm preaching. They never added anything to me. Now, Acts chapter 15, we're going to go back there for a few minutes. Go back to Acts chapter 15. This is it's called the Jerusalem Council. And this is the council meeting that Paul, a lot of people believe Paul is talking about this exact same meeting. Acts chapter 15. Now, Paul, as I said, was in Antioch, which was a Gentile church. And as he was preaching the gospel that you're saved through grace by faith in Christ. In other words, here's the thing. When you say you're saved through grace, or by grace, whatever. Saved by grace. That means God reached down to you. You had nothing to do with it. You're down there on the earth. You couldn't do a thing for yourself. You're in sin. You're lost. There's absolutely nothing you could do. Nothing that anybody in the human race could do. So God's grace reached down. And God said, all I want you to do, he said, believe on me. So he said, it's by grace, through faith. We're there on the earth. The only way we can get into that grace is by faith. But we can't reach from earth to heaven. We have to come some other. So he says, it's through Jesus. Jesus came down, paid the price. So we put our trust in him. We're in relationship with God. You understand that? So is God reaching down? That's the grace. It's faith is us reaching up, but it's through Christ who paid the price for our sin. Okay, so when we're talking about salvation by grace, through faith, through in Christ Jesus, this is the only thing Paul says when we're getting saved, you just have to have your faith in Christ. That was the bottom line. Okay, so Paul says here, in this meeting, he said, they added nothing to me. Now let's look back at a meeting for a minute. We touched on this a bit last week. How many read Acts chapter 15 this past week? Well, some of you did. Some of you did. I told you last week, read it for homework. Anyway. Okay, so here they are in Antioch. They were a Gentile church, but these Judaizers are coming in and says, listen, you fellows aren't really saved. For one thing, Paul's not a true apostle, so he never told you the truth anyway. He only told you half the gospel. You still got to be circumcised. You know, I've talked to people I was talking to a minister a few years ago now. He said he went down the state somewhere, and he went into his church, and he said he started to, you know, just go in, and people came down after the service was over and talked to him and different things, and he was down there working for 4 or 5 weeks or something, and he decided, well, I might as well stay in this church and, you know, just worship the Lord here. And he said, but after every service, they come down and say, listen, you're not real Christian because you don't belong to our denomination. You got to be baptized a certain way. And they tried to get all these different ways to get them baptized and all these different things. And he said, listen, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I've been serving the Lord. He said, I love the Lord. But he could not convince them because never did it our way. I told you before, years ago in Newfoundland, we had a pastor came to church one morning. It was on a Monday morning. We had prayer meetings going on early in the morning. And he said, boys, he said, I got some good news. There were 5 people saved last night in Hare Bay. Now, Hare Bay was just a town down the road, about 10 miles down the road. And we thought, man, that's great, like, you know. He said, yeah, he said, they got saved in the United Church. And man, the bottom just dropped right out of everybody's face. You can't be saved in the United Church. That's the way we believed. Now, the pastor knew the difference. And, I know the difference now, but back then, that's the way we were trained. If you didn't believe in our church, you weren't saved. You know? Thank God that God moves beyond denominations. Anyway, Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea, this is from Jerusalem, and came to Antioch and taught brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, these are people that were already saved, but the Judaizers came and said, listen, you can't be saved unless you get back, unless you're circumcised. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute, in other words, there was an argument, there was a big fuss about this, with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others, which is Titus we just read, certain others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Let's go up and ask them in Jerusalem itself what this is all about. So they being sent underway by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy among the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them in the Gentile churches. But verse 5, notice it. But some of the sect of the Pharisees, now these were the very strict religious legalists of that day, kept the rules, you know, that you... I can give you all kinds of illustrations that, you know, over the years of ministry. Foolish ideas that people come up with. We were in a church one time, and there was a young girl, and I told you this story before. There's a young girl, and we had two rows of seats. And I was up leading the service, and there were some musicians right here, and there's organ that over on the stage on that side. And we're going through the service, everything's so good. And this young girl was about, I don't know, probably 14, 15 years old. And she used to babysit for us when Stephanie was a baby. And she was there sitting in the seat, and her father was up playing guitar on the thing. And we were just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden I noticed the guitar music stopped, but I thought he might have been just, you know, doing something. And so I looked, and there he came down off the seat like this, came down, I guess, and was the middle seat, you know, two rows less. And his daughter was sitting roughly there, like, and he grabbed her by the arm, and he went like this, and started going out through the door. And I thought, well, she must have, you know, done something bad, or he had to go out and do something, or what. I don't know what was happening. So I went on with the service, and I got into the preaching, and I was just finishing up the preaching when all of a sudden he came in. She goes to the thing again, and he goes and sits down in the seat with his wife. And then, sir, you know, we got to the after service, he came up and played guitar again, and everything went on. And so after the service was over, we're shaking hands, and he said to me, he said, you see that this morning? And I said, see what? He said, you see me come down, he said, off the platform support? I said, yeah. He said, you know why I did that? I said, I don't know. He said, and he called his daughter by name. He said, she was wearing pink pantyhose. And I looked at him, I said, yeah. He said, in church. And he went home, and I didn't notice, but then I looked at her, sure enough, she had brown pantyhose on. Now she's okay. But see, that's how stupid legalism is. That's how stupid legalism is. I mean, there's people, anyway. But I mean, you've all gone through same kind of experiences over the years. You've heard foolishness like that. That you got to do this in order to be saved. You got to do that in order to be saved. You can't wear this. You can't do that. You can't chew gum in church. And goodness knows you can't have coffee in church. Anyway, some of the sect of the Pharisees came in saying, "You can't. It's necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Now all the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And verse 7, and when there had been much dispute, see here, now here's, I mean, they had a big argument about it up in the Antioch church, now they're down in the Jerusalem church, and they had another big argument about it. He said, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, now you got to understand, this is going on, probably they were arguing for a couple of hours, I don't know, might have been a full day, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but there's a lot of dispute about it. And all of a sudden, Peter was just sitting down, seemed like just taking all this in. And then finally, Peter stands up. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, You know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, what's Peter referring to there? We don't have time to read it all this morning, but Acts chapter 10. Remember Jesus said, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Jerusalem church wouldn't do it. They were so caught up in their traditions that this is for the Jewish people. How can Gentiles be saved? They're pagans. They're the dogs. They're the scum of the earth. We're the chosen people of God. So how in the world can a Gentile be saved? So they never left Jerusalem. This was 8 to 9 years after, let's say 9 years. This is 9 years after Jesus was crucified and went back to heaven and told them to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. They stayed in Jerusalem. We're not taking this out to the Gentiles. Remember Jonah? When God told him to go to Nineveh, Nineveh was Gentiles. Jonah did everything. Jonah tried to get on a ship and go the other way. He hated. He didn't want God to forgive him. He wanted God to wipe him out. And this is what these people were like. They hated the Gentiles. But Peter, the Bible tells us, was in Joppa, actually the same city that Jonah was in when he ran from God in the first place. He got swallowed by the whale. Peter was in the very same city. This is centuries later. Peter was in the very same city. God spoke to him. And Peter, the Bible says he is hungry. I mean, the Bible is very plain. Peter was hungry. And the Bible says, while they were making food ready, Peter went up on the housetop to just lie back and take it easy for a while. And when he went up there, Peter said he fell into a trance. He had a vision. And in this vision, Peter saw a sheet come down from heaven. And look on the sheet, and there was pigs and rabbits and all these different things that he weren't allowed to eat. And a voice said to Peter, said, Peter, rise up and kill one of those animals and eat it. Now you got to understand, Peter was Jewish. And Peter said, I can't do that. He says, it's not right for me as a Jew. He said, I've never eaten anything unclean. You see, Peter was still bound by the old covenant. You understand that? This is, say, 9-10 years after Calvary. But Peter could not understand how this was supposed to work out. And the Bible says the sheep went back up into heaven again. And then it came down the third time, or the second time. It came down three times altogether. And the same voice every time says, Peter, arise and kill and eat. And Peter argued every time. Says, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Can't do it. I've never eaten anything like that. It's against my custom. It's against our laws. It's against our rules. It's against our beliefs. I just can't do that. And God spoke to me and said, Peter, anything that I've cleansed, don't you dare call unclean anymore. Now, there's still people that still want to eat certain kinds of animals and all these different things. But anyway. Now, God never showed Peter that just to show him about the animals. God had a bigger purpose in mind because God was using this as an illustration. Peter, you consider the Gentiles unclean and dirty and filthy and everything else? He said, I want you to open up the gospel to them. I mean, this was years later, and Peter and them, they still couldn't come to the fact that they had to let the Gentiles in. You read this in Acts chapter 10, and the Bible says, God spoke to Peter and said, listen, there's three men coming looking for you. And he said, when they come, he said, I want you to go with them. And he said, don't ask any questions. Now, in Caesarea, and again, it'll take too much time to get into all this, but there was a man there, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, an army officer in the Roman army. He wanted to know about God, and he was praying and crying out to God, and all of a sudden an angel came to him and said, Cornelius, send three men down to Joppa and find out a fellow named Peter. And he said, ask him to come up here. He said, and tell you. But Cornelius was Gentile. And so they came and knocked on the door. Peter was upstairs, and they knocked on the door, and they said, we're looking for a fellow named Peter. And Peter comes in. Yes, what do you want? Well, we've been praying, and Cornelius, and you know, told him the story. And they said, Cornelius wants you to come down and explain to him about the gospel. And God already told Peter to go with them, so Peter went with him. Peter said, I went. He said, didn't fight against it. I went. And then when you notice when he got down there, and he went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius had gathered his family together, the Bible says, in the house. And the very first thing that came out of Peter's mouth, he said, you know it as well as I do. He says, not right for me to be here today. He said, it's unlawful for me. See, Peter's still bound by the law. He said, it's unlawful for me, being a Jew, to come into a house of someone from a different country. But then he changed. He said, but how be it? He said, God showed me. He said, I'm not supposed to judge any man. And Peter started to speak to them. Now, this is Gentile people. Peter started to tell them about the gospel, how Jesus died, rose again, went there. And the Bible says, while he was still speaking, I mean, the Bible is very plain. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. And it shocked Peter. And the Bible says, as many as went with Peter, there were six or seven of them altogether, counting Peter, Jewish people that went down, as many after circumcision, remember they were the Jews, as many after circumcision, the Jews that went down with Peter, they were shocked that God would give the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles too. I mean, you know, and Peter, when Peter went back to Jerusalem, the head fellows in Jerusalem called him and said, listen, we heard you went down to the Gentiles. And they started giving Peter a hard time. And Peter said, yes, he said, I did. He said, but, and then he told him how the sheep came down in the vision and how God blessed them and things like that. So they finally said, well, maybe God has gone to the Gentiles too now. Now, so when they're in this meeting, this is years later. Now, when they're in this meeting, Peter stands up. He's okay. Peter stands up. And Peter said, remember, he said, a good while ago, which is about 12 years prior, they still, even after Peter did it, they still found it hard to go to the Gentiles. 12 years later down the road, when Paul came back about this issue, Peter said, remember a good while ago, he said, how God used me, he said, to go to the Gentiles? That was 12 years before. And he said, God, and he goes on down through, he said, a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Ghost, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, not by the law, not by circumcision, not by all these rules, but by faith. And then he says, now therefore, this is Peter's conclusion. He said, now therefore, he said, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, the Gentiles, which neither our fathers nor we could bear? He said, this is so hard. He said, we couldn't keep up to it ourselves. Why are we trying to make the Gentiles do the same thing? If the law could have saved us, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. This is what he's saying. You know, so why are we trying to put the law upon them? We couldn't even keep it ourselves. He said, but we believe, now notice this, that we believe that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they are. Peter was starting to understand. He said, we believe that as Jews, we get saved the same way the Gentiles do, just by grace, by the faith in Jesus. That's where it's at. And if you go on down, we don't have time to read it right now, but anyway, you look down through verse 22. And it pleased the apostles and the elders and the whole church to send chosen men after company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas and Barsabas and Silas, and leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them. They sent this letter to the Gentiles that were saved out in the other churches. This is what they said. I mean, it even tells you what was on the letter that they took up there. He said, the apostles and the elders and the brethren, these are people in Jerusalem, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. This is what they said. He says, since we have heard that some who went out from us, the Judaizers, went out from us, some that went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See, now the reason Paul stuck to his guns and would not back down, because if Judaism got their way, if the Judaizers got their way, we would be still in bondage today. The pagans would never be able to save. We were the pagan people that he's talking about. We would never have been able to get saved because we would have to keep all these laws and rituals. And if you had to keep them, what was the purpose of Jesus coming and giving his life for us? What was the purpose of Jesus fulfilling the law and setting people free from it if we're still going to try to live under it? This is the point that he's trying to get across. I know I'm going through a long time here. But anyway, he goes on down talking about different things that he told the church to do. Okay, let's move on here. He said, but they added nothing to us. When we were in that meeting, he said, they added nothing to us. But contrarywise, in other words, on the other hand, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me. Now, remember what we talked about last week, the circumcision, or the uncircumcision, rather. The uncircumcision is Jews. So these are people that are uncircumcised. Or rather, let me back it up again. These are Gentiles. I get it straight after a while. I'm trying to teach you and I confuse myself. These were Gentiles. They were uncircumcised. The circumcised were the Jews. Okay, the Jews were keeping the Old Testament laws and everything else. So he said, when they saw, when Peter, James, and saw, John saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. In other words, the gospel to the Gentiles, he says, the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, I'm just going to see the gospel to the uncircumcision and the gospel to the circumcision. Two different groups here. The Weymouth New Testament says it this way. Indeed, when they saw that I was entrusted with the preaching of the good news to the Gentiles, as Peter had been to that to the Jews. Peter's ministry was to go to the Jewish. See, this is why people look at churches today. People look at some ministries on TV. So, you know, and I've heard people say this. Oh, you know, and Joel Osteen, for instance, right? People look at him and say, you know, he's not a good preacher. I mean, he's a good, you know, what he's doing. But they say, because he's not preaching against this, he's not preaching against sin, he's not preaching against this, he's not preaching against something else. Listen, God never called him to do that. There's a million others out there that's preaching every Sunday against all kinds of sin on the TV. God gave him a different ministry. Oral Roberts, I mean, he's dead and gone now, but Oral Roberts, when he is in ministry, had a healing ministry. You know, God will use him in healing. Billy Graham had a ministry as an evangelist to get people saved. Somebody said to Billy Graham one day, he said, why don't you pray for the sick as Oral Roberts does? Billy Graham said, he said, if I start praying for the sick, he said, I'd lose the anointing that God has placed upon me. He said, God has anointed Oral Roberts for his ministry. He's anointed me for my ministry. And this is exactly what he's saying right here. God has anointed Peter for the ministry to reach the Jewish people, because Peter was, you know, from the Jewish group and understood them. But he raised up Paul. Paul understands Judaism because Paul came out of it, but God made him an apostle to the Gentiles. You understand that? So, you know, they're going out with the gospel, but the gospel affects the people in different ways. Move on. For he that wrought effectually in Peter. Now, the he that he's talking about here is God, the Holy Spirit. He that worked in Peter to his apostleship to the Jews, the same he's talking about here is the same he that's mentioned up top, God, was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Weymouth again, just to bring it in better English. For he, God, who had been at work within Peter with a view to his apostleship to the Jews, had also been at work within me with a view to my apostleship to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, or James and Peter and John, Cephas is the name that Jesus gave to him, means stone. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived a grace that was given unto me, they gave to Barnabas, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Notice here, that we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. You understand? So you understand sometimes God gives people different ministries. One ministry is to go and reach this people. This is why, you know, there's different denominations. This is why there's different churches in a town. People say, I don't understand why you need so many churches. I do. One church is never going to reach everybody. We got people here in this church would never think about going to another church. You got people in other churches would never think about coming here. But they all need to be reached. You understand? So we have different ministries. We emphasize certain areas. We you know, different things. But God is going to use us all if we'll just put our trust in Him. And so this is what he said. He said, we would go to the heathen or Gentiles, and they would go to the circumcision or the Jews. And they said, the only that we would remember the poor, the same which also I was forward to do. Now, we don't have time to get into all that, and there's other things that he mentioned in the letter as well. We don't have time. But I don't know what kind of, well, I know, I shouldn't say I don't know. I know a lot of you what kind of background you came from. I know what I came from. And I know there's all kinds of superstitions, all kinds of ideas. You can't be saved if you know if you're going to be a Christian. When we were growing up, it was in our church when I was a child, that as Christian, as a good Christian, you couldn't wear, talking with women now, you couldn't wear makeup. You weren't allowed to wear earrings. God wanted you to have earrings, he'd put holes in your ears when you're born. God wanted you to smoke, you'd have a smokestack put on the top of your head when you're born. Yeah, you're not allowed to cut your hair, that's right. Not allowed to cut your hair. And if a woman wore a pair of slacks, Well, that was, you just lost it. Right? And you could tell them, I mean, you could tell them 10 miles away about how long their dress was, how long their hair was, and they wore styles that were 20 years out of date, and that's supposed to be real spiritual. And I can remember when we were in the church, and I was sitting in the seat. This is in our first church, it's just a little country church type of thing. And I was sitting up in the front seat, and this stuff was preached all the time, every Sunday. Like, you know, and I mean, I knew what a good Christian looked like. Somebody was sad looking and discouraged and white and pale and, you know, weren't allowed to color your hair. All these different things. And I can remember sitting in the seat, and I was just, I don't know, might have been 12 years old, 10, 12 years old. And my aunt came in. Now, she lived in a different town. And she came in and sat down in the back seat. And my buddy, actually Pat's brother was with me. He gave me a route. He said, Steve, he said, and he mentioned her name. He said, it's here. And I looked around, and here she was. She had earrings hanging down. And she had lipstick on and done right up, you know. And I thought, oh my goodness, hope the pastor don't find out she's my aunt. I was petrified. Because somebody in our family was so pagan to go out and wear earrings and makeup and color their hair and all these kinds of things. But listen, I mean, the gospel sets us free from all that old foolishness. This is what, you know, and super. I don't know what kind of superstitions you had in your family or background or whatever. Listen, the gospel is so very simple. By grace, you're saved. Mm-hmm. By grace. That means favor. God's favor. God loved you, and he just decided on his own that he's going to bless you and give you something. And by grace, you're saved through faith. And he says, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. It's not trying to keep all kinds of rules, keep all kinds of rituals, keep all kinds of ceremonies, be here for that, do this, do that, do something else, make sure you take communion, make sure you don't take communion, make sure you're baptized, make sure you don't do it. You know, all these different, it's not of works. Because if it's by works, some people can do works better than others. Some people got better willpower to stick to something more than others. And if our salvation is based on how good I can keep rules, I could probably get in, or you probably couldn't, or probably vice versa. But the Bible says he gave us a law that all the world would become guilty before God. And therefore, when Jesus paid the price for all, he paid the price for every last person on the planet, and every last person on the planet gets in the very same way, by faith in Christ. That's what it's all about.
There are a million truths for every lie. So speak it out loud and let it lift high. There are a million reasons to cover your eyes. But the light is shining. Darkness we have, the light is shining through the darkness we have. So come let it, come let it, come let it, come let it shine. Come let it, come let it. There's only one way to wash yourself clean. So let the dirt fall and get on your knees. There are a million scars for every mistake. Oh, but we are not chained to the secrets that. Oh, but we are not changed. time of our time now. We can't afford not to cry out, and shake the earth from the ground, and rescue souls from the darkness around. This is the battle of our time now. We can't afford not to cry out, and shake the earth from the ground, and rescue souls from the darkness around.
Come.